Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Governor Newsom is going all in on mental health reform in California, something that he says no state has ever done anything to the level that he is proposing. As part of his multi-city tour of California, highlighting what he'd like to accomplish for his second term in office, the governor announced a new round of proposals that would pump billions of dollars into the state's behavioral health war chest. The main proposal would go before voters in 2024, asking to approve a state bond measure that would fund health campuses, treatment facilities, and permanent housing. The hope is to raise around $3 to $5 billion, if not more. The plan, though, builds upon a law that voters already approved nearly 20 years ago, Prop 63. It's known as the Mental Health Services Act, which places an income tax on high earners. One of the authors of Prop 63 was Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg, who was then a state lawmaker. Mayor Steinberg joins us now to explain how this will build off his original law. Good morning, Mayor.
Good to be with you, Vicky.
Okay, we got to take a little trip down memory lane when it comes to legislation. Take us back to the original bill, Prop 63, and explain to our listeners what it does and how it's been working so far.
Sure. Well, let's go back to 1998. My first year in the Assembly, I introduced a series of bills known as the AB 34 series. It was what we called Integrated Services for the Homeless Mentally Ill. We got $55 million a year, distributed to 30 counties, 5,000 people a year got wraparound services, and we showed dramatic improvements in people's lives, reduced homelessness, reduced incarceration, increased housing and employment. It was so successful that we decided if it's good enough for 5,000 people, we ought to actually build the system that was promised when Governor Reagan and the legislature back in the 60s and 70s shut the state mental hospitals and promised a decent and funded system of community mental health care. And of course, the state never delivered. So we went to the ballot and we put the millionaire's tax on the ballot, Prop 63. And it was a very eventful political year in 2004. There were a lot of controversial measures and we kind of slipped right under the radar. We raised $5 million for a statewide campaign and passed Prop 63 with 53% of the vote. What does it do? It says that 20% of the money needs to be spent on prevention, early intervention every year, 5% on innovation, and the remainder on helping people who are the sickest of the sick. It started at $750 million a year, and now it is up to over $4 billion a year. And so we come 20 years later, it's time to modernize the law. Any law after a decade or two ought to be re-looked at. And what we have seen is great success, tens of thousands of people helped, but two things we want to correct. Number one, the money needs to be focused more on the sickest of the sick, namely the people who are living in these tent encampments and people who are cycling in and out of our jails and in and out of our state prisons. The counties, which do a good job through what are called full-service partnerships, the wraparound service model, a lot of people are getting help, but there isn't enough of a state focus or a county focus on what we're all experiencing in our communities, namely this unsheltered homeless problem, which we know is the top issue everywhere. So what the governor proposes, and I support, is let's update Prop 63 to make sure that more of the money goes to helping solve that problem, treating the people who desperately need help, adding substance abuse, by the way, to what can be covered by the law, and actually making a dent on the problem, which the public is demanding, obviously, that we do so.
How do bonds work? Is it taxpayer money?
So the bond is a separate proposal. It's in addition to modernizing Prop 63. What he wants to do on Prop 63, the Mental Health Services Act, is update it to make it more focused on unsheltered homelessness, set aside $1 billion out of the $4 billion every year for housing. And then in addition, he has a proposal that would create a bond, $3 to $5 billion, to build more mental health facilities throughout the state. What he recognizes is that we have a broken system, despite the Mental Health Services Act, despite all the improvements in care and the reduction in stigma and more people telling their stories, we still have a fragmented system, and too many people don't know where to get help, and we don't have enough workers. We don't have enough of a mental health workforce. And so he wants to tackle all parts of it. And part of it is making sure that we have enough beds and enough facilities so that when people are in crisis and they get better and can step down to something other than a hospital bed or a contained facility, that there are those beds to enable people to get whatever level of help they need.
I mean, what you're talking about is a plan that envisions, you know, essentially an overhaul of the style of mental health facilities and services that we've historically been used to in the state. And that may all sound great, but those may be there may be some people who are skeptical about the amount of money that's being discussed here, $3 to $5 billion. What kind of transparency and accountability is being discussed or promised to voters if they do approve this?
So this is the other part of the governor's proposal, which I think is really significant. He is insisting, and rightfully, that whether it's the Mental Health Services Act or the bond, that those responsible for spending the money, the counties, the state itself, that they actually produce transparent outcomes every year. That's been one of the frustrations with the Mental Health Services Act. Everybody knows that it's doing a lot of good and helping a lot of people, but the money's distributed to 58 counties. There are often very different approaches and not enough outcome-based reporting. All levels of government need to be more effective and transparent in reporting outcomes. And that's part of what the governor is calling for. Mm.
On the topic of transparency, I think as we're talking now in a committee hearing, I believe, at the state capitol, there's a handful of lawmakers that are, it's a bipartisan request, that want to essentially audit the amount of money that's been spent on homelessness services. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's great. I think that we should never be afraid of sunshine, and we should never be afraid of extolling the strengths and the achievements, but also being honest about the weaknesses. That's what we're doing, what I'm doing. I mean, I have some pride of authorship in passing Prop 63. It's one of the most important things I've ever done in my life. And at the same time, I recognize that 20 years after its passage, that it's great, but not perfect, and it can be improved. And so the only way you improve it is to be clear and transparent about what's good, what isn't so good, and what can be changed.
Yesterday, we were talking about another proposal of the governor's on his State of the State tour across California, and that involved tiny homes, which Sacramento will receive roughly 350 of these units. Our homeless and housing affordability reporter, Chris Nichols, he also spoke with Wayne Weingarten. He's with the Pacific Research Institute. It's a free market think tank based in Pasadena. And essentially, he's criticized the state and the governor's spending for not finding more cost-effective solutions. He argues that state and local governments could save money by having private organizations establish shelters. What is your response to that?
Well, I think we would welcome the private sector into the discussion and the business community to say, look, I have this vacant building, I have this vacant warehouse, and be partners with us. I think that would be great. But look, the tiny home proposal or the manufactured home proposal is the essence of thinking more efficiently about housing. And frankly, we need a lot more of it. The problem we have with housing, especially affordable and supportive housing in the state, is that it's too expensive and it takes too long to build. The one-size-fits-all approach, whether it's apartments, which are wonderful, all usually high quality, and we need more of it. It can't be the only way we do things. Manufactured housing, and we saw all these incredible models. They are dignified, they're quality, they're less expensive, and they're faster to build. And so to me, I've often said we need a Silicon Valley moment when it comes to housing. We need innovation like we've never seen before. And so the governor putting forward 1,200, which, by the way, is going to be a big benefit to Sacramento because we're going to put 350 at Cal Expo. And that's going to enable us to clean up one or more of our corridors, help with the American River Parkway, and, you know, continue to make a dent in this problem here in our own city and county. It is an example of what we should be doing by the tens of thousands. And if the private sector, by the way, most of these products are produced by the private sector. And so there's a real business to be had here in a way that could help people and help the state.
We couldn't help but notice that at the Cal Expo event, obviously the governor was there, you were there, but there wasn't anyone from the county who was there. I mean, and you have said this time and time again, the county is a health and human services agency. The county and the city need to work together in tandem with each other. What was the response from the county when asked about this plan?
Well, I know that I've talked to county supervisor, chair of the board of supervisors, Rich Desmond, and he's been a great partner. And we're going to work together on all of this. Look, the city and county have a state model. It's a legally binding partnership agreement. And by the way, it will be replicated throughout the state, because what we said is that the city has its role, the county has its roles. And together we are committed to 50 new encampment engagement outreach workers so that we actually can diagnose people in the field and get them into county services right away. And then the county is committed to doing legally whatever it takes to help everybody they diagnose with a mental illness or substance abuse disorder who needs the help. And so implemented in the right way, this is as close to the right to care that I have been arguing for a long time, because now there is a legal obligation for the city and county to work together and a legal obligation for the county to add as many of those wraparound service slots as are necessary to help the people in need. We're already implementing. We're on the WX corridor. We've got three outreach teams on the WX corridor trying to clean up that part of the city in a humane way by bringing people into care. The Cal Expo offer from the governor is going to enable us to match that outreach with some actual tiny homes and beds for people. The one thing we're lacking right now is sufficient beds. We're up to 1,100 a night in the city, by the way, of emergency shelter beds, but they're all to capacity.
Yeah, I mean, the point of time count for the county is, 9,000 people on any given night that are experiencing homelessness.
We need more beds.
You have committed to demanding action on homelessness since you first were elected mayor. That was your first term. We're now in your second term. The last time you joined us in December, you were undecided, running on a third term. This crisis continues to grow, but solutions and resources continue to evolve. Will that shape your decision on whether, or have you made a decision on whether to run again? Because the primary is less than a year away.
I haven't made a decision, but I will soon. I know that it's a big buzz around town, certainly around City Hall, and I will. I will, in short amount of time. Here's what I know. Whenever I leave office, I will not have solved the problem, but I hope that what I will have done is laid the foundation, and a strong foundation, for significant improvement. And it's not all bad. I always say there are two tests. Test one is, how many people have we gotten off the streets? And I think I might have said it in December. Sacramento Steps Forward tells us between the city and the county, and they're mostly in the city, we've gotten 17,000 people off the streets since 2017. And yet there's test two, which is, does it feel any better out there? And are there still large tent encampments? Well, of course, we've got a lot of work to do to meet that test. And so I think what I have done is laid the right foundation. And the city-county partnership agreement is going to have legs for years, if not decades, because it's the roadmap to actually helping more people and having a cleaner and safer city.
In the last, 20 seconds or so that we have, did you think that we would be talking about Prop 63 20 years later?
I did not. I we had a vision that it would be fulfill that promise of decades ago. And it's fulfilled part of the promise, but the promise is never fulfilled. The work is always ongoing, and that's the opportunity we have in front of us now.
Mayor Steinberg, as always, thanks for the time.
Thank you, Vicki.
Up next, a Sacramento State professor will take us behind the scenes of her latest documentary, Lake at the Bottom of the World, which is a scientific expedition to a lake buried under 3,000 feet of Antarctic ice. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. We'll be back in just a few moments.